All right, well, let's talk about this. This is something. Buddy Ryan has passed away. Buddy Ryan is one of the all-time greatest sports figures in Chicago history, coaching figures in Chicago history. Obviously, Coach Ditka, I think probably, you know, number one. Phil Jackson, number two. Mm-hmm. Q is right up there. Oh, Q's got to be. It's got to be. If he's not number two, he's number two in my heart.
And I think this ESPN 30 for 30 that came out about the 85 Bears, what was that, late last year or so? But I think that brought, that shed even a little more light on Buddy Ryan for some people. It was supposed to be about the entire team. It turned into almost a Buddy Ryan documentary. And it was phenomenal stuff. The stuff you're getting from like guys like Singletary and, of course, Hampton. Hampton talked about it this morning with Steve. Mm-hmm. But that was one of the better 30 for 30s. And the way it focused on Buddy Ryan, it goes to show you how much all those guys thought of him and how important he was to that team. Not that everybody already didn't know that, but it was cool to see. And obviously the timing now, so close to his death, it's a good way to remember him.
Here's a little bit of the 30-30 featuring Singletary.
This is my first start. I was all excited about the game. I called my mom, called my sister, said, hey, you guys got to come.
He had flown his family all in from Houston, the same play. And we go out on the field, and they run a no huddle, and he calls timeout. Wasted timeout in the first place. So I benched him.
Go over there and sit down. Don't get up until I tell you. Sit down the rest of the game. It was the most humiliating I've been in my life as a player.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, God.
And that's Mike Singletary saying that.
And that was the formation of the 46 defense. That was the big thing that Buddy Ryan did. And here's the guy, the number for which it was named, Doug Plank. And, Doug, thank you so much for being with us. And it must be an honor. You know, every time you're watching TV and people talk about the 85 Bears and they talk about the defense and they talk about Buddy Ryan, the formation of the defense, which obviously predated the 85 Bears and teams you were involved with, the 46 defense named essentially after you. You must really be proud of that.
You know, there's many people have asked me, do I ever feel bad about not going to the Super Bowl? Of course you feel bad about not going to the Super Bowl, but I have to tell you, being associated with the 46 defense, it trumps, it surpasses everything else. Every year there's two teams that go to the Super Bowl. How many players either have a name after them or an association with them as a player, the way they played, with a defense, especially a defense that went to the Super Bowl and won it? So, you know, it's not hard to think about it. When he created that thing that day, and it was in a meeting room and it was on a board which he was marking up, nobody really thought much of it because he had created many defenses for other players in the room, either blitzes, coverages, whatever the case might be. But this one worked. And it's funny you mentioned Dan Hampton. Dan Hampton in that meeting room used to be called the Big Rook because when he came in, he was such a huge, big rookie, he used to just run over people. And Mike Singletary, he had the name Samurai. And I gave him that name because on a Monday night game, he was transporting plays back and forth in the sideline. And when he got to the huddle with the play, he sounded like a samurai warrior. I couldn't understand one word that Mike said. And I gave him the name Samurai, and it stuck with him ever since.
Did the 46 defense take right away? I mean, you saw it on the board in that room, and then boom, you put it into practice on the field. What happened? Did magic occur?
Yeah, it started out as a third down defense, which means the offense has to go 5 yards or greater on third down. So that's why they brought myself in. And the other guy playing weak side linebacker was Jeff Fisher. Most people don't remember this, number 24.
All right.
So Jeff and I came in. Gary Fensick went back to the free safety. We kept our corners the same. We slid the line down to the weak side. We put the two linebackers over top of the tight end. What a disaster for offenses. And we knew exactly what they were going to run because we all got in that room together and we studied all their formations and what plays they ran out of certain formations. And when we shifted into that 46 defense, we were coming after the quarterback. There's two things that Buddy didn't like in football: quarterbacks and kickers.
Oh, gosh. That's well documented.
Doug, I've heard so much today about, and players keep remembering Buddy Ryan and calling him an innovator. What was so unique about that 46 defense at the time compared to what style of defenses were being played? And two, do you still see some of Buddy Ryan's influences being played out today on the defensive side of the ball in today's NFL?
Well, let me just say this. In the 46 defense, anybody on that field could do anything. Whether you were a tackle, a defensive tackle, a defensive end, you could be in pass coverage, you could drop back into zones, you could rush the quarterback, and any of the guys that were in the secondary could blitz the quarterback. They could be responsible for, you know, containing sweeps, all those sort of things. Now, when you line up as an offense and you have 11 guys over there that you have no idea right. what they're going to do, and these guys are looking at your quarterback like he's the turkey mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving, and they are getting ready to smash him. And one thing Buddy did, I'll say this, he put together a group of guys. You didn't need any pregame talk, you know, which he gave many times, but you put these guys in a huddle. I don't care whether it was in the early 80s or 85, these guys would sell out for each other, and all that credit is given to Buddy Ryan. It's not the position of the players. It's the disposition that he put those guys on the field.
Was there tension between Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka, though?
Yes, absolutely. I tell players, when Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka were on our staff, every day I went out to practice, I dressed like I was going to a game. I put pads on. I put, you know, things on my forearms for banging in and hitting other players. You know why? Because a game could break out at any moment between those two coaches.
Oh, gosh.
And
well, that's it. Because
you were loyal. You were so loyal to your coach, you would do anything for him.
Yeah.
And, in fact, many times when you get knocked on the field during the game or practice, and he would point out, why are you on the field? Why are you laying there? Why are you letting down your teammates? Every time I got on the field, I used to learn when I was getting knocked off my feet, I would go into a roll. So when I hit the turf, I was back up in my feet within a split second trying to hit somebody else. And that was all because of Buddy Ryan.
I saw so many quotes today that just struck me. The Bears, the 85 Bears would not have been the 85 Bears without Buddy Ryan. There's such a respect amongst players who played for him, even the greats. Dan Hampton had such an emotional piece in the Sun-Times today where he just talked about how God bless Buddy Ryan and God bless us because we were lucky enough to be able to play for him. It feels like he really struck this chord with players for being tough, sometimes brutally tough, but there was tough love underneath it all.
It's, you know what, there was probably 3 years he was here and he was just showing that Marine Sergeant mode, you know, tough guy, I'm going to beat you down, I'm going to make you cry, I'm going to make it painful. And there was a game, and I believe it was against the 49ers. He came in afterwards, and he said, you know what? I know most of you knuckleheads in here are going to make mistakes and do stupid stuff, but there's a handful of guys in here, and I trust and I count on, and I depend on you. And when you screw up, it hurts. And he's staring at us. Tears started going down his face. I'll tell you what, if there was Kool-Aid in the room, everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid. chairs were getting thrown. There was total buy-in after that. You know why? He showed that he cared about us. There's a saying in football, players don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That moment, we knew how much Buddy Ryan cared for us.
Well, and you talk about something that's interesting you hit on, the people who you just watch the sport are not familiar with playing the sport. It's an interesting, like myself, I watch the sport, I'm not familiar with playing it. But what is interesting is how the defense and the offense, even though they're on the same team, and they celebrate after in a win, right? But, you know, during practices and before the game, uh-huh. I mean, they're at loggerheads with each other, right? I mean, you know, they sit separately on the planes and in minicamp and all that sort of stuff. And it's fascinating because, at the coaching level, the coaches are supposed to be the managers, the executives, mm-hmm. right? They're the ones that are supposed to be able to make that turn. And I think that's the interesting thing about the 85 team, and actually, obviously you were on teams, you know, leading up to the 85 team that
yes.
were equally as devastating, you know, performance. You just didn't have an offense that was
no,
clicking.
We had no offense. Yes, yeah. Other than Walter Payton, I mean, there was a few spots here and there, but I mean, God bless Walter. I mean, what a great athlete, but he carried our team
forever.
And,
yeah.
and once Jim McMahon came in and Willie Gault
stayed
I mean,
healthy,
history
right,
I mean,
and stayed
it
healthy.
All of a sudden became. But, you know, it's one thing about Buddy. You know, I think that he was able to instill in players a determination factor and that, you know, he always was prideful in that watching film. If you put on our first play of the game or last play of the game, whether we were winning or losing, we were attacking. We were putting out 100% effort. and that is a reflection of the coach. I coached for 12 years in the National Football League in college. I'm telling you right now, Buddy Ryan, his message, he put it on a platform that would hit players smack in the face with it. And when he told you to do something, you knew he was serious. And you looked around the room, and everybody is looking at you like, don't let us down. And I'm just telling you, the last thing in life you would ever want to do is let anybody down in that room.
I do want to say that it's an honor to talk to you.
Yes,
because you did one of the most amazing things I've ever seen on television or in life. It was during the Snow Bowl game against the New York Giants, Giants Stadium. The Bears needed to win this game to make the playoffs. And it was, you know, the second time the Bears are going to make the playoffs in 3 years. And it was the beginning of the, you know, you started to feel, this was before Ditka, you started to feel the sense that there was this momentum coming back. The great Chicago Bears of the 1960s were coming back in real life to Chicago. And you hit a, first of all, people who don't recall this game, it was snowing in New York.
Yes.
No one could move. The snow was all over the field, and there was a point differential that you had to hit. There were so many things going on this game to make the playoffs. And you hit a guy. You actually hit a guy. I've never seen this before. You were like an Exocet missile. You were actually parallel to the ground when you left your feet. And I could, to this day, cannot figure out how you were able to get up enough speed on that icy, snowy turf, wet turf, to be able to get that guy.
You know what's really funny about that? We only had artificial turf shoes, which are really small little nubs underneath the. So we were not prepared for the snow. Our equipment managers went out in the first half. They sent somebody out to a sporting goods store, and he bought 45 pairs of spikes. And they came back with all these shoes, and we put them on at halftime like you were playing on grass.
Wow.
Because we needed traction. And I'm telling you, that won us the football game. You know, yes, it was. There was so much determination in that game. I remember how freezing cold it was. I was colder that game than I've ever been in my life because you first got wet as the temperature was dropping. It was like being out in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
It was just
And that
freezing.
Hit, by the way,
freezing.
That was a determinant hit in the game because you kept a guy from getting a first down when you needed to. Obviously, you know, Doug Plank was always a hero to young kids, especially, you know, they were growing up and wanted to be rough and tumble football players. But you know, you played with such reckless abandon and were a guy that everybody else in the league feared, because if some guy was going to lay a hit, people wanted to avoid 46. Go to 45. He's from Yale. He can't hurt you.
Oh, gosh. That wasn't a great place to go either, I don't think.
Yeah, it was. It turned out. Fenzik was just as
Gary,
tough.
I mean, Gary was so devastating. I mean, he came in.
Oh, God, I know.
You know, as he got released by Miami, he was a receiver and played defensive back. But, you know, here's what's great about the Chicago Bears, especially back in that era. It didn't matter where you came from or what kind of player you were. If you got on this team, especially the defense early on, and later on, even on offense and defense when Mike Ditka came, you were going to become a Chicago Bear or you were going to leave. And becoming a Chicago Bear was being tough, physical. It's amazing now after my career was done and I went around and coached at different places with the Jets, the Falcons, the reputation and the respect that NFL teams have for the Chicago Bears and how tough they play on defense, that's across the league. So I'm anxious and hoping, you know, that the Bears continue to keep improving and get back to that standard, which, you know, they owned for years and years.
Doug Plank and Gary Fenzik, the best safety combination in the history of the game right there. There's no question about it. Doug, thanks very much. Appreciate
you
being with
us.
Thank
you for the time.
Thanks, no,
Doug.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
All right, Doug Plank, number 46, 46 defense, started by Buddy Ryan, initiated by Buddy Ryan, invented by Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan passed away late last night at his home in Kentucky.
Yep.
All right.